CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Happy New Year's Eve to all of you. College football playoff gets started back up again tonight. Big things going on. And the Texans?
Yeah.
The Texans play on Sunday. And they are going to be playing their dudes in this game. So you better be ready for a noon kickoff on Sports Radio 610.
They play NFL games on Sunday now. Okay. It's been my impression that it's Christmas Day, Saturday, Thursday night, Monday night. But Sunday, that's a novelty.
Has this schedule, like the recent stretch, messed with you as much as it's messed with me?
Yeah.
It's totally thrown me off, man.
I think there are four teams that had really weird stretches because of the three games in 12 days. Yeah. But I think for people in general, especially, I'm still adjusting to the new playoff system in college football. Yeah.
It's a lot.
My biological football clock is a little bit off.
Yeah. It's a lot, man.
I'm like a 47-year-old single lady.
I'm
desperate. I got to do something. My biological clock's all messed up.
It's a ticking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But we're back on noon Sunday, at least for now, until the playoffs roll around. And then I guarantee you one thing. We will be back on either a Saturday or Monday kick the following weekend. The Texans will not be playing, in my opinion, because they're a four versus, they're guaranteed to be a four versus five game.
Yeah.
The Monday night game on wild card weekend, because wild card round is six games now, the last one played on Monday, is a four. It's always going to be a four versus five game, because that game doesn't throw everybody's schedule into disarray at that point of the season.
So you're saying that it's not going to be a Monday night game?
I'm saying it could be a Monday night game. The Texans could play on Monday night wild card round, because in the wild card round, the Monday night game is always a four versus five.
Oh, it's always that. Okay, yeah, I misunderstood.
Yeah,
All right.
It's always a four versus five.
So it actually could be a Monday night game.
Could be a Monday night game. Now, we know if history holds true, it'll be Saturday at 3:30. That's when they've played literally every other wild card round game.
Then there's no the potential opponents they would play aren't huge enough TV draws that they would skew it. Even the Steelers, it's not quite the same as if you were playing the Cowboys or the Giants or other teams that get huge ratings but suck at football. Yeah.
Well, it basically comes down to, do you take the Texans and probably, to your point, the Steelers, or do you take in the NFC the winner of the NFC South versus the leftover from the Vikings-Lions game, which, by the way, that Vikings-Lions game this coming Sunday night is about as big a regular season game as you're ever going to see. The winner of that game, and if you missed it, the Lions won Monday Night Football last night against the San Francisco 49ers, a game you heard right here on Sports Radio 610 if you listen. That game next weekend, it's Sunday Night Football. They've set the schedule now for next week. And that Sunday night game between the Vikings and the Lions, the winner gets the bye and the one seed, and you have to go through their city to get to the Super Bowl. The loser is going on the road for the entire postseason, in all likelihood.
The Lions are put in an interesting situation where they're so banged up, they're so injured, and they could really use that extra week. But does that mean that you play guys who are injured to try to get that extra week?
Yes.
That's a delicate balance.
They played everybody last night. That game was meaningless last night. They didn't need. They could have lost that game, and the stakes would have still been the same this coming Sunday.
That's Dan Campbell, man. Yeah. You know, there's a football game to play. We're going to go play it. There is, man, watching the Broncos game this weekend. You look at the end in overtime. It sure felt like Peyton knew for sure that all they needed to do to clinch the playoffs was to tie that football game.
Yep.
And it colored his decision making. And it was, I was cool with not going for two or whatever. But like that final drive in overtime, it looked very much like, hey, we're going to run the clock out.
Total
and
conservative.
It blew up in their face.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's where the part of just being an old school meathead and saying, you know what? No, I'm not going to think about the. Not going to think about the playoff scenarios or anything. We're just going to go win this football game. I think that's why some coaches are almost like kind of psychotically into that level of it, because they know the danger is that you start getting too clever and too cute.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Campbell almost, he would have been a fraud if he didn't play his guys last night, because that's what they built that whole ethos on in Detroit, is biting off the kneecaps, trying in every game, that whole thing of all of a sudden in week 17 on Monday Night Football, you're playing all the backups. That just, I don't know if that would have rung right, but... So now you got 14-2. We're going to have a 14-win team as a 5 seed in the NFC. There's going to be a 14.
They got to change this college football playoff system. That doesn't sound right. I don't know, man.
They need to play the games on campus. All right.
And I bet they seeded Oregon 1, right? Like above the Bills. Okay,
yeah,
great.
They did. Yeah. They did. D'Amico's going to play his guys, as it turns out. He met with the media yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's what he says, yeah.
D'Amico Ryans. Well, I mean, they're going to play. How long they play is I guess, up for debate. This is, well, let's see. Let's read into it here.
Yeah.
Here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday when he was asked, will you rest your guys now that you're locked into the number one seed? Or number four seed.
Going into this game, as I mentioned to all our guys, that everybody has to be ready to go. And that's where we are. Everybody will be out there playing, and we'll see how the game goes. But for us right now, we got to go play better. And our last outing on the field was not good enough, not representative of who we are defensively, offensively. Just it's not a good representation of our team entirely. So we got to go out. We got to play better football.
So the debate online and other places, because I posted yesterday, Seth, the list of the guys I would rest if I were D'Amico.
Yeah.
And that drew a lot of chatter from people, you know, like, no, you can't rest anybody. They got to go in with momentum. They've got to wash this taste out of their mouth. And then there were others who were like, good list. You know, like, I would rest all these guys too. And we can debate, you know, where we both stand on all of that. It sounds like D'Amico, at least for part of this game, is in the wash the taste out of the mouth from the Christmas game.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like, but I just let's remember, Sean, D'Amico's actually gotten good at the deceptive
thing.
Side of coach speak, right?
Yeah.
Remember, will we have Derek Stingley shadow Amari Cooper? No, that's not what we do.
Right. Is Davis Mills going to start against the Titans? Sure.
To his credit. Well, he never actually – well, the problem was nobody actually asked him that week. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, I guess it's going to be Davis Mills. Right. So D'Amico never even had to give any coach speak. There's one lone voice in Houston that said, hey, what the hell? He's never actually said that Davis Mills is starting. What are you guys on about?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was
been watching a lot of British stuff.
That was you, yeah. So do you think?
I don't think CJ plays.
You don't think he plays, huh?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he does. I think he's banged up. And D'Amico did a good job of not answering that question yesterday when asked about CJ's injury. CJ after the game had said that he was kind of banged up. Didn't want to use it as an excuse, but he put that out there. I think the smart thing to do is to rest CJ and get him as healthy as possible, because that offense – look, you've had 17 weeks to fix that offense, and you haven't done a damn thing.
No.
So let's just get the most important thing is CJ as healthy as possible.
I've heard a lot of people like, you don't want to lose momentum going into the – I'm like, what momentum?
Lose? Momentum?
Yeah. Yeah. You
what is their record since they started let me cherry pick the worst part of their record to say how many they've
lost. They're 3-5 in their last 8 games. They were 6-2.
That's easy enough.
Yeah,
didn't have to cherry pick that.
They were 6-2 through the first 8. They're 3-5 with a wretched offense in the last 8. Here was D'Amico. Seth just talked about it. He was asked about CJ being banged up.
The piece about CJ being banged up is, you know, I think that's real, and that's real for everyone in the league at this time of the year. Everybody is banged up. The amount of games, guys that play, the snaps that they play, like, everyone is banged up. That's what it is. That's NFL football this time of year. Yeah, you try to manage it as best you can, but it's also we all have to fight through, push through, and a lot of guys are fighting through a lot of things, not only CJ, but a lot of guys are fighting through, and that's the nature of what we do. And it also shows how resilient these guys are, what they go through and what they battle through, that a lot of people would never know that they're fighting to go out there and still go perform and ask to perform at a high level.
Okay, so a lot of coach speak surrounding the CJ being banged up. Hey, everybody's banged up, which is true. Cody Stutz asked a follow-up. Yeah, is there an injury that's preventing CJ from making plays?
I think CJ's had some plays that he would like back. Again, that's everyone, right? Everyone has had plays that we would all like back and would like to play better. I think CJ would be the first to tell you, he has to play better. And our entire team, rallying around him and playing better as well. I think collectively as a team, we all have to play better, and we have an outing like we did versus Baltimore. No one did good enough. Coaches, players, no one did good enough. So we all, as I asked our guys to look introspectively and see, where we can all get better.
Okay.
Not connecting the injury to the performance at all. I think there were a couple plays in that game where it didn't make any sense. Then when he sailed the ball over Nico's head, there were another couple errant throws that, not including the one to Dalton Schultz when he was in the flat, but because that would have been a really impressive play given that he was getting hit as he was throwing it. Mm-hmm. And yet, I would say the interception that he threw, he was on the run. It was kind of a risky throw. It would have been awesome if he had made it, but that was a much worse throw than I think I've seen him make before.
Yeah.
So I think there's that. But then there are also, you got to look at some things, too, that weren't injuries at all. Like on the RPO where he took a sack, Damian went out to the right, and on that play, you got to get rid of it immediately. It's got to be a Tua Tagovailoa type play, because if you don't, you got offensive linemen illegally downfield. And CJ held onto the ball, even though he had both Dalton Schultz and Xavier Hutchinson with windows to throw. But that's one thing. Fine, even if you didn't think they were open, you can't take a sack right there. You got to throw the ball away. It's almost like a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And he bails out backwards.
Yeah.
And runs 7 yards even deeper than if he had just taken a sack there.
Yep.
Much less thrown it out of bounds. Like, some of this stuff is just, it's bad quarterbacking. And that part of it, is it all tied to the injuries? Is it tied to the pass protection? All of that. But there's that individual play, whatever the reasons leading up to it, that was a complete bust of a football play.
Yeah. So you think CJ sits in this game on Sunday?
I think he does, okay. Yeah. I think D'Amico's coach speaking out the wazoo.
Do you think anybody else sits in this game on Sunday? Like, just
let's see, who's
flat
injured
out,
right
flat
now?
Out just sits.
I don't think so. Yeah,
you asked who's injured right now. I mean, there's guys who I would sit that aren't injured right now, just based on injury history, like Nico.
I would say the defensive players, I'd say maybe just make it like you do with practice. Anybody over 30, anybody 30 or older, just go ahead and
see.
Take
I'm
a break.
Like I'm the opposite. I'm like, man, sit Will and sit Danielle Hunter and make D'Nico Autry and Jerry Hughes earn their Social Security checks.
That's a good point. And you're right though. You can't quite make that blanket statement because you've got depth players and rotational players who are 30 years old.
That whole
older.
Room is 30.
Yeah. That's
Will,
an old defensive line room. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rest everybody who's over 30 so Jerry Hughes can play.
Right.
He's like 53.
Yeah. He's over 50. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Anybody over 50 plays.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. It's honestly though, because I do think that CJ does believe that they got to go out and play well, but he's got to make a hard decision with CJ.
Yeah.
So I think CJ is the only one that I would rest a lot of the starters personally. If I'm going to handicap it, I think CJ rests, or excuse me, D'Amico rests CJ and
that's it.
Probably nobody else unless it's for just genuine injury reasons.
Yeah. Or if the game's going a certain way, you have a quicker hook in the game, to get guys out, whether it's, if you're winning by a lot or losing by a lot.
Well, whether or not it's momentum or anything like that, you definitely don't want to have your ass completely handed to you 2 weeks in a row. That's the dicey part of it.
Well, and not by the Titans either. I mean, there is that element to it. There are a lot of people in that building that want to beat the Titans,
It might be better for momentum and psychology and morale if you actually just put nothing but practice squad call-ups out there as much as you can finagle under the rules.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, we're gonna get destroyed, so no harm, right? We know. We're like, okay, so no big deal, right? You guys are still good, we still believe in
right,
you.
All right, so there's three teams the Texans could play in the wild card round. We've got the percentages right here as to who they are most likely to play. Who do the people want them to play in the wild card round? I took a poll. We'll have the results next. Payne and Pendergast with you on a New Year's Eve.
Oh, edition. It's New Year's Eve.
It's New Year's Eve. It's the day of the bowl game, too. The Kinders Texas Bowl is today between Baylor and LSU.
I actually wrote two physical checks this morning, and somehow it eluded me as I wrote down 12:31.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me that it's New Year's Eve.
Wow.
We got to go pop tops or whatever the kids say.
Yeah.
I feel very old when it comes to popping tops. I feel like that's can you use it? Can you talk about it as an activity? Like as a verb? Like we got to pop some tops, or you're only supposed to say they're popping tops?
I don't know. I haven't used that phrase in my entire life, so I'm the wrong guy to ask.
You know, yeah.
Like, how's this whiskey taste? I don't know. I'm a teetotaler. I have no idea how it tastes.
You don't listen to enough crappy music, Sean.
I don't. I don't.
And I'm thinking by kids, I mean, I think that was like for the millennials. That was a popular phrase with them.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're going out to the bowl games today, should be a whole lot of fun. Baylor and LSU, it should be that's one of the better non-playoff bowl games, I would say.
Do you happen to know who's on the call for this?
Good question. I believe it's Brett Dolan and John Harris. Okay.
Oh, yeah, good. Byron,
yeah, yeah.
Because nice. We get on the radio or on the TV?
On the radio, yeah. It'll be right here on Sports Radio 610, Seth. Yeah.
I love Brett. Brett's an awesome guy.
I ran into Brett. Where did I run into Brett recently?
I like John, too, by the way. Yeah. But I was just, you know, John knows that.
Oh, I ran into Brett. He was at the Texans game on Christmas Day. I ran into Brett.
Oh.
Yeah, Brett. They're both great. It should be a good call. It'll be right here on our airwaves today. Should be a lot of fun. So the Texans can only play one of three teams in the wild card round. If they want to send their advanced scouts out, they can send them to three places, and they'll be playing one of these teams. The Steelers, who according to playoffstatus.com, there's a 77% chance they would play.
It's getting up there.
The Chargers, 19%. Somehow these numbers shifted overnight. I don't know. You know, I guess maybe the Lions, maybe there's a ripple effect with the Lions and the Niners that affect these things. I have no idea. And then the Ravens, there's a very, very minuscule chance, thank God, that they would play the Baltimore Ravens. 4% chance.
I am such a fraud and a hypocrite because everybody that listens closely will remember that last week I said, hey, I actually would prefer to have the Ravens at home in the first round because that's your best chance at beating the Ravens. Yeah. So, yeah.
Dude,
I don't care anymore.
No, a 31-2 thrashing will do that to you.
Fine, at least if they have to face the Ravens in the second round on the road, we won't have to witness it in person. Fine.
So who do you think the people want to play, Seth? There's about 1,000 votes on this poll that I put up yesterday. Who do you think the people would like to play of those three teams?
I think of those three teams, there's a lack of familiarity and recent success with the Chargers. They haven't been successful until this year. I feel like people feel more like, oh, it's the Chargers? What? No, Justin Herbert? Ah, no, I know Russell Wilson's name, and they've got a good defense. So I think most people would prefer to play the Chargers.
Actually, believe it or not, 73% of the people want to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's interesting.
The hatred for Russell Wilson knows no end.
I guess. The lack of fear of Russell Wilson probably more than anything.
Lack of respect, which, you know, is the kid. Us kids say that hate. That's hate as well, you know?
That's right. You kids.
Yeah. They're hating on him. We're hating on them.
It is interesting the percentages of the voting public, you know, the 1,000 people that voted in my poll. It aligns within just a few percent of of what the computers think the opponent is going to be. Like, it's 73% want the Steelers. Well, the good news for those people, according to the computers, there's a 77% chance you're going to get your wish. Similarly, the Chargers, 22% of the people would like to face the Chargers. Well, the computers are like, well, there's like a, you know, 16 or whatever I said, 19% chance that you're going to get your wish. And then very few people would like to play the Ravens. 4.6% are like, yeah, let's go. Give it to me one more time. Give me the castor oil. Let's go. Yeah.
You know, one of the big things that I would look at, too, is the fact that I think the Chargers have a better run defense than the Steelers. Like, the Steelers have a better overall defense, but I don't. The teams that have good run defenses, like the Titans, even though they're a bad team, that just completely stymies everything the Texans want to do. And neither of those defenses, I don't feel great about either of them. But you might have your best opportunity for success against the Chargers. I respect Justin Herbert more as a quarterback, but I kind of, like, at some point you're going to have to score points versus these teams, and I don't know if they have a chance versus the Steelers.
Yeah, I don't know either. I did pros and cons of each of these from a Texans perspective. I kind of, like, you know, did the whole, like, all right, this is good. This is a green column. This is good. There's a red column. Well, this sucks. Pros of playing the Steelers if you're the Texans. You mentioned Russell Wilson. He's the least threatening, I would say, of the three starting quarterbacks on these teams. Like, he's the least scary. Did you know the last time the Steelers won a playoff game was in 2016? When they, that was the year Brock Osweiler was the quarterback of the Houston Texans. How long ago does that feel? That's the last time they won a playoff game, was in 2016. It's been almost a decade. For all the credit that Mike Tomlin gets for having a team that never finishes, like literally on his watch, never finishes below 500. They're mm-hmm. always at least 500 or they're a winning team. He's not won a playoff game in 9 years or 8 years, man. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. So that's the pros. They haven't had a lot of recent success. The cons, as you mentioned, the defense. two cons, I think, with the Steelers. The defense and the optics at NRG Stadium that day or night, yeah. whenever it is they play. Like, the Steeler fans are going to invade NRG Stadium.
Yeah, like, the Steelers might have, it might be one of those unfortunate situations where the home team has to go to a silent count.
Yes.
Because it's that. And this Texans offensive line, although they've actually somehow weirdly, like, even though you'd never believe, they have made some improvements along the year as the year's gone on.
Yeah.
In terms of communication and things like that.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
But that part, I mean, they still can't run the ball at all versus good defense. And I think that's where, again, I go to the Chargers. It's kind of a, I think both these, they're both good defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chargers just, I don't fear the Chargers at home nearly as much as the Steelers for that crowd dynamic.
Yeah, I agree. Like, to me, yeah, the pros.
So the defense, like, you get a better version of the Steelers defense if they've got home field advantage on the road.
Yeah,
and you're not going to get that with the Chargers.
No, you're not going to get that. Yeah, the big pros of playing the Chargers is, for one, I mean, we talk about the Steelers' lack of success in the playoffs in the last 8 years. The Chargers are just one of those cursed franchises that anytime they get close to something good, something bad happens. They lost. Mm-hmm. They had a 27-0 lead over the Jags in the playoffs 2 years ago, and that's what led to Brandon Staley eventually. That was the impetus. You know, that was the beginning of the end for Brandon Staley.
It's an underrated reason to sign to hire Jim Harbaugh as your head coach, because, you know, Jim Harbaugh kind of, you know, cured a lot of the curses and vexes of Michigan football.
Yes.
And a year in which he won a national championship, he did it while also getting caught doing something else that other programs it might have doomed. So it was like they completely 100% reversed the curse. So the Chargers need some kind of mojo like that, and Harbaugh's just the weirdo to do it.
That's, yeah.
Very, very weird.
that's exactly what I wrote in my notes. I'm like, Jim Harbaugh, cons if you're the Texans. Jim Harbaugh is their head coach, and if there's a head coach who can weirdo his way out of all the Charger weirdness, it's Jim Harbaugh.
Yes,
it's
good
true.
Job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I also think, too, like, just purely from a football standpoint, like, all these big chunk plays that have been the Achilles heel for the Texans this year, Justin Herbert's capable of generating a couple of those.
Yeah, but you know? so are Russell Wilson and George Pickens, just
true.
As a duo.
Yeah.
That's been kind of the hinge point for their offense a lot this year.
Yeah, this is my pros and cons for facing the Baltimore Ravens. Pros, they kicked your ass so badly on Christmas Day, maybe they'll come in overconfident.
Oh.
Cons, everything else. Like, I can find no good reason to want to face the Baltimore Ravens anymore.
Danielle Hunter, when you listen to the audio, I don't think it nearly sounded like he was calling out the coaches the way it read in the transcript. But Danielle Hunter said they need a game plan better in a game like that versus the Ravens. There is something to be said for, man, when you've got to play a team that's so vicious with the option because of the running back and the quarterback and their ability to run. And then also the RPO element of it. Like, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare because that offense can beat you every different way. It's really tough in a short week to get your defensive ends and linebackers really on board with exactly how you're going to play everything. But that's not it's not enough of an excuse.
No.
Especially now the offense has no excuse because they went out and played not that much different than they've played all year, just a little bit worse.
Tell me what you think of this text. Give us Baltimore.
I hate it.
Give us Baltimore in the first round. Beating anyone else would feel like false hope.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. I don't. okay, all right, maybe this guy's talking me back into wanting Baltimore in the
first round. For that reason? Why? Because who cares how you feel about a win? Like, it's a win. On to the next round, you know?
It's like, kind of like if your kid's not that good at sports and you're going to a tournament, you're just kind of like, all right, let's just get this over with. I got some Netflix to watch.
Right.
Let's just go ahead Let's go. I hope this team gets rolled up in the first, because they're not doing anything anyway.
I don't want to dismiss it. It is an interesting point. Like, that is the one team. Like, if they beat the Chargers or beat the Steelers, you're gonna, in all likelihood, I mean, you're gonna probably go to Kansas City. It would in the second round, depending, unless there's some upsets. You're probably gonna go to Kansas City. Which, by the way, I feel better about playing them than I do. I know Kansas City people are going to be like, oh, you're talking trash about the two-time Super Bowl
champ. Oh, they're
so
sensitive.
Super sensitive.
They're absurdly sensitive these days up in Kansas City.
They're the least scary of the three teams the Texans could travel to in the playoffs, in my opinion. The Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills. When I say least scary, in terms of, like, getting embarrassed. You know, like, we just saw it. They played the Chiefs up there 2 weeks ago or whatever it was.
And yet they also look over the last couple weeks like a team that's just – the Chiefs look like they're hitting their stride and might become yet again that dominant force in the playoff. But I think that's important to remember. It's that, all right, I don't think it has to give you false hope. The problem is, like, obviously you lost the game to the Chiefs. It wasn't as close as the score looked, but you've been able to play some good teams to within a score this year. And the defense at times has been just outright a force versus teams like the Lions and the Bills at home. So the problem is that the Ravens are just a particularly bad matchup for them.
Yes, yeah.
And it's obviously coloring our perception of the team right now. The offense, I don't feel good about at all. But getting a playoff victory, for lots of reasons, I've turned into that meek and timid soul that I've given up hope on a deep playoff run, but I'd just like to have at least a home playoff victory, please.
Yeah,
all I'd like.
I agree. All right, off and running on it's Tuesday, right? Yeah,
it's New Year's Eve, Sean.
I know, dude, I'm not even joking. Like, this
we're top popping
playoff schedule, or not playoff, the regular season schedule's got me so messed up. It's a Tuesday, and so good to be with you on a Tuesday. Appreciate you guys getting up with us here on New Year's Eve. Headlines up next. Texans get a guy back, and there's a new one in the house. D'Amico Ryan spoke on both of those. You'll hear from him coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, headlines. By the way, Ross Tucker joins us at the top of the hour, so we'll talk. He's on the call for the Texans and the Titans on Sunday with CBS.
And also, quick news item. I've been informed that poppin' tops is not a phrase that anybody uses for anything
at all. Yeah.
It's poppin' bottles. So, okay, I feel better about that.
Yeah.
For some reason in my mind, I thought I had heard that, and I was like, I've never heard that slang before. Okay.
And if it ain't on Urban Dictionary, nobody's using it. Nobody.
Well, other than, like, the kids who are, like, it's so cool that it's not even on anywhere on the internet yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know? The only thing I found on Urban Dictionary is top popping is when a girl's boobs start to fall out of her shirt or dress.
Okay, well, that ain't the worst thing in the world. I mean, that's, you know, that happens.
Or a top pop is when your buttocks are clenched so tight that your fart escapes at the top of your butt crack, causing a ticklish sensation.
Okay, interesting sensation, yeah.
So we're going to be topping pops tonight, Sean. We're going to eat a bunch of beans, and then we'll go top pop.
Top popping, and go find some chicks who are top popping as well, yeah.
You're going to have to wind your butt even tighter than it already is. Let's get to the headlines.
Let's get to headlines. All right, D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. Hey, how's it feel to get Azeez Al-Shaire back from his three-game suspension?
Yeah, it's really, really great giving Azeez back. We've missed him over these past 3 weeks. Just missed his presence, his leadership, missed, you know, his playmaking ability on the field. So, you know, we're excited to get him back out there, let him knock some of the rust off.
Yeah. And knock some Titans into the dirt in the process. Yes.
Yeah, I kind of, in my five-day-long football depression, where I was trying to process things emotionally, I kind of forgot about Azeez Al-Shaire.
Yeah.
And he's going to play. I don't think he was only in Tennessee for a year. I don't think he's probably got a great amount of animosity, except that guys like Azeez can drum up some animosity.
Of course they can.
You drum up the disrespect. You can create that chip that you place firmly on your shoulder.
I can't believe you're minimizing the necessity of being in Tennessee for a full calendar year. Well, that wouldn't be enough to conjure up some just general anger of having to be in Tennessee for a year?
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
It's a year, yeah. Man. It's like a jail sentence. D'Amico Ryans also asked about the newest Houston Texan yesterday, Diontae Johnson, who was wearing jersey number 82 and was out at practice yesterday.
With Diontae, adding him to our team, a guy who has talent, he's done it, you know, at a high level for other teams. He's bounced around a little bit here. As I mentioned to him, of course, it's a clean slate starting with me. It really doesn't matter what has happened in the past or what the narrative is about you. You come here and everything is a fresh start. And so we'll see how he can help us, what he can add to our team, you know, on the field and off the field.
And I think one thing about the Texans is on two levels. One, they'll give guys a clean slate if they've had, you know, issues in the past or what have you. Stephon Diggs is a good example of that. But it's also, you know, like on an injury front, Cam Akers, hey, that was kind of a little bit of a risk, but low risk, high reward. And they ended up, God, I wish Cam Akers was still on this team. They ended up at least getting some draft compensation back for him, I suppose. So with the clean slate part of it, the one thing that Diontae Johnson can provide that this offense really, really needs right now is just speed. And going back and watching the offense, man, it's all these little things that accumulate. You know what? If your offense can't provide you that extra eighth of a second of pass protection, but then also all the routes are a half step slower than they should be, everything's disjointed and a mess. And there was a lot of that. Against the Ravens. So just getting speed out there on the field, I think that's really important headed into the playoffs. Give Diontae Johnson a boatload of reps and just get him integrated as fast as possible.
Fast as possible, man. They need his difference making out there for sure. Monday Night Football last night, a game that had zero meaning because the Lions are facing the Vikings this coming Sunday for the number one overall seed in the NFC. And it didn't matter if they won or lost last night, but as is classic Dan Campbell, played all of his guys. Jared Goff played the whole game. And the Lions win 40-34 in San Francisco, or in Santa Clara, I guess, technically, over the San Francisco 49ers, whose season continues to slide into the toilet. So that'll be fun. This there's only a few things that are left to play for in the regular season across the league. The AFC North has not been decided yet. The NFC North has not been decided yet either, and that's what will be determined between the Vikings and the Lions on Sunday Night Football this coming week, a game you'll hear on Sports Radio 610. I guess the other division, too, that is up for grabs is the NFC South with Tampa Bay and Atlanta, and I guess if there's a Texans tie to that, the winner of that game will be on the Texans' schedule next year. Uh-huh. They'll face the champion of the NFC South as their 17th variable game next year, and it'll be at NRG Stadium. So if you'd rather face the Falcons than root against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend.
I don't know if this is big on social media or not, but it's just something that caught my eye last night because mm-hmm. of this game a play, and because Ricky Pearsall, the rookie tight end, got a lot of action, that for two consecutive years, a receiver that C.J. Stroud has really loved in the draft has been shot. I don't know what kind of SoCal stuff is going on here, but it's weird, man. It's weird. Because Ricky Pearsall, remember Ricky Pearsall got drafted and CJ was like, oh, man, yeah. I wanted him. I love that guy.
He reacted, like he curled up into a ball on the couch for like 5 seconds over.
He was, yeah. If it weren't for the kind words of his dear friend,
Micah
Parsons, yeah. he wouldn't have gotten, yeah.
He wanted Ricky Pearsall, yeah.
Something to monitor young wide receivers.
Right.
You don't want CJ coming out publicly in support of you in the draft.
No, there will be gunplay. College football playoff resumes tonight. The Fiesta Bowl, Penn State and Boise State, will be played tonight. Three games tomorrow. Tomorrow is a great college football day. You've got bowl games in the morning, and then you've got the three playoff games which are being played in bowl settings, including the University of Texas playing early. They're the early game against, oh my God, who are they facing? Arizona State. They're facing Arizona State. And then the midday game is Oregon and Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. And then Notre Dame and Georgia In the Sugar Bowl at night. So should be some fun quarterfinal action in college football playoff.
Yeah, and if you watch the game tonight, that's with, or if you listen tonight, Brett Dolan and John Harris will be on the call. And I always, John's one of those color commentators that I like listening to because he teaches me things.
Yeah, he's good.
And Brett's awesome.
Yep, yes, that's talking about the Kinders Texas Bowl right there. It's actually at 2:30. So that's an afternoon game today. So you can hear
it. I always get nervous. I was going to let you say the Kinders Texas Bowl because I couldn't remember the sponsor.
That's okay.
So
that's okay. There you go. Those are your headlines for today. We got Ross Tucker coming up. So let's jump out here and we'll bring on Ross. Ross is on the call. He was also on the call the last time the Texans played the Titans. That didn't go as planned. He's on the call again on CBS this weekend. He's our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, and he joins us next.